to the podcast. My name is Liz Jensen, and my guest today is Tammy Perry. Tammy's an e-learning specialist with Memorial University in their medical school professional development department. So she designs e-learning programs for healthcare professionals all across Canada and even really the world. She's lived most of her life on Canada's East Coast, the last 10 years in Newfoundland. But that is about to change because Tammy's moving to Guatemala very shortly. So we're here to talk about what led up to that and, you know, what she's expecting and what she's doing. So welcome, Tammy, and thank you for sharing all this.
Oh, thanks for having me, Liz.
Oh, you're welcome. So, Tammy, tell us a little bit about the work you do, just to get a picture of it, for those of us that may not know.
Sure. When doctors become doctors, they often come across cases where they need some more updated information about what they do. For example, somebody might come in with diabetes and ask about a new treatment. So what we do is our department puts together a needs analysis, and when we get a request, for example, I need to know more about diabetes, we'll send out an interviewer to collect information for a needs analysis. That information is then put into learning objectives. We take learning objectives and build a complete an online program. Basically distance education that anybody, any of our Canadian doctors in the country can take and be accredited for. The big thing that we do is accreditation. So they get credits for, you know, continuing medical education credits for taking our courses.
Great. So that sounds like a big job. It sounds interesting too.
Yes, it's really interesting. And I've learned a lot about medicine and patient treatment. And I think I was much like a first-year medical student where when I did a course on fibromyalgia, by the end of the course, I thought I might have fibromyalgia. And when I did, you know, you do it on ADHD and you think, oh my, I might have ADD. And then, it's really interesting.
So you had a plan, you had a three-year plan in place for some changes that you were going to make. They didn't involve Guatemala. So can you talk about that plan and how things have changed? You know, what's got you going to Guatemala?
Okay, well, my three-year plan was, you know, I love the work I do, but when you do something repetitively for a period of time, it starts to, you know, you lose your, you know, your drive to do it, and it becomes less interesting. So I wanted to move on and do something else. So I thought best thing for me to do would be to make a three-year plan, take a year off, and travel, see the world. And I'm a motorcyclist, so I really wanted to do several motorcycle trips. About 4 years ago, I had done a job with the Canadian International Development Agency, where I had traveled to Guatemala to work with nurses who were learning to do, or nurse instructors actually, who were learning how to do online learning, same thing I do. So I was there teaching them how to do what I do so that they can reach people in rural areas. The program was an excellent success, and I enjoyed it so much. I loved Guatemala. I was in Nicaragua and Guatemala. Loved it. Myself, geez, I'd love to live here sometime. I'd like to spend more time here and get to know the people better. The Mayan population are the happiest people I've ever met. They're just shiny, happy people. So I went back to work and still working on my three-year plan. And I was getting ready to actually leave my job. I had given them notice for September of 2014. Lots of notice. I wanted to be, you know, proactive and make sure everybody knew what was going on, because I was excited and I wanted to talk about it. So this fall, I got a phone call from a very good friend of mine I've known for 20 years, actually two friends, and they said that they were starting up a company and they'd like my help. And I said, well, I'm on a three-year plan. I'm, you know, really not ready to do that right now. And I kind of put it off and said, well, but, you know, talk to me again in September. I'm, you know, I'm all set for September. Well, they called me again this about a month ago and said, look, we really need you. If you come here, we'll fly you here. We'll pay for your room and board. We really need you on this e-learning project. And plus, Tammy, this is right up your tree. We're going to start doing some free trade work, helping the local women get better working conditions and that sort of thing by starting a free trade company. And we're looking at helping to teach locals how to do e-learning. So it's right up your alley, something you'd love to do. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm going to have to think about this, guys. Went to work the next day, and the very next day, my boss held a staff meeting and said, well, folks, we're having rough times right now. You know, we didn't make it into our plan for the next quarter, and we're really struggling right now, and I just wanted to fill you in and let you know. So I heard that, and at that very moment, I said, you know what? I'm going to Guatemala.
Oh, wow.
That was it. I called them that very day, and I said, yeah, I'm coming, guys. Book my ticket. Let's go.
Wow.
So in the meantime, it's been a whirlwind to try and sell my house and clear out my things, because my plan in the fall was to get rid of everything and live with nothing but my backpack, you know, complete, and my bike.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, completely become minimalist for a year and just take life easily and simply for an entire year, you know. I think everybody really should do that at some point.
Okay, so you must have mixed feelings. It's exciting, but on the other hand, you're walking into something that, I mean, it's Newfoundland and Guatemala, very different.
it's far away, very different climate, very different sense of security. Here in Newfoundland, you don't need to lock your door, and you don't worry a whole lot about, you know, government takeovers and coups, and you don't worry about gangs coming down from the hills and, you know, shooting people. Where in Guatemala, things are a little less secure than here. The thing that struck me the most lately is the doubt. Now, when you're experiencing doubt, everybody experiences doubt at some point. When I've learned that I experience three types of doubt.
Okay.
I have the I'm having a bad day doubt, where everything I doubt and everything feels bad. And I, you know, I don't, those are days when you just don't make any decisions and you don't think about it. You say, okay, I'm having a bad day. Let's just not even consider that doubt today.
Let's just make it through today.
Let's just get through today, and tomorrow the doubt's gone.
Okay.
The second type of doubt is the doubt where you're not sure if you're making the right decision. So, and that's a big doubt. And one of the things I learned from a business course I took last year with Marie Forleo was she explained that when you experience doubt, you need to listen to your body. And if your body contracts, then the doubt is a bit of fear, and you should really pay attention.
Attention from the fact that it's trying to protect you or stop you, or there's something else to think about, like it's like an alert.
That's right. It's an alert. It's a bit of a negativity, and it's contracting you. In the sense. Fear, for example, if you're feeling fear and you feel contracted, then it's fear that's, well, as compared to something that makes you open up.
Sure.
Okay, you can feel feel doubt or fear that actually makes you feel expansive.
Right.
It gives you a bit of the shakes, and it makes you excited, and you feel a little sick to your stomach. That's an expansive thing, and that's something that says, you're uncomfortable because you're going into unknown territory.
Right.
It's not a real fear. And what I'm feeling is the doubt of that kind of excitement. It's a bit of like, oh my word, what am I doing? I'm leaving the country. I'm leaving everything behind, you know. But it's excitement. It's a good kind of doubt and a good kind of fear. And it's just keeping me on my toes. And it's making me double check that my banking's in order. And it's making me double check that I've got all my little details looked after, like a passport and immunizations and things like that. The other kind of doubt, when you contract, that's not real. That's plain old fear, and it means that you really shouldn't go there. If you're contracting to it, that type of fear or doubt is something you really need to look at what you're doing.
So that's maybe more of a like a real security or safety, or you know, your intuition is trying to tell you, you know, this isn't a good idea.
Exactly. And that's how you know that you need to take a second look at what you're doing, is when you're contracted. That's your, you know, I'm 47. I've lived long enough to have an intuition that's pretty good. You know, I've experienced enough to know when I'm experiencing fear for a good reason and fear for a, well, no need.
Yeah.
It's excitement, really, not fear.
A lot of people say, you know, I'd love to do something like what you're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have probably said that to you, you know, to just the thought of being free, of selling, you know, you're getting rid of everything and you're living your dream, really.
Yes.
This is something that you really wanted to do, and it's an intention that you put out 4 years ago.
That's
not
right.
Many people will take that step and push past that comfort zone. How do you do that? How do you, you know, what gives you the strength to do it? You're going to be going to Guatemala very shortly, and forget about snow and shoveling your snow driveway.
Oh, that makes me feel so good to know I'm going to get away from snow. And I like playing in snow, but I don't like shoveling it. And anyway, your question about, I call that upper limits. Everybody sets for themselves an upper limit. Everybody decides what they can and cannot do. Everybody decides what, you know, what they're going to do with their life. And if you've made the decision that you're not going to go, then you're not going to go. I wanted to, well, 2 years ago, or is it three now? I had this upper limit where I didn't feel that I could go on a really long motorcycle trip, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I just said to myself, there was too many barriers. There was work, there was my kids, there was family, there was machinery, I didn't have a motorcycle that was capable of doing a long trip. There were so many barriers that I kind of said to myself, you know, I kind of put it off and put it off. And then it was around my father's birthday. My father passed away when he was 50. It's around his birthday that I had this thought that, you know, my dad always talked about doing a long trip, but he put it off until retirement. He said, I'm gonna work, I'm gonna do a good job, and when I retire, I'm gonna do that long trip.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he ended up getting lung cancer and dying at 50, and he never got a chance to do that long trip. He was gonna do it with me on a motorcycle.
Aww.
You know. So it was around his birthday, December 20th, and I was thinking, you know, I'm going to ride my bike across the country. Brings a tear to my eye just thinking about it.
Today is December 20th. When we're talking, it's December 20th today.
Isn't that wonderful? Wow. It's my dad's birthday today. So I wanted to, I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. And I made the decision. And I said, there is no upper limit. There's nothing that can stop me. I live in one of the most wonderful countries in the world. I can do anything I want. There's really nothing holding me back. And I said, I'm going to do it. So basically, I just raised my ceiling, you know, I just raised that bar and said, I don't have a limit there. And you know, I went to talk to my boss, and they were more than happy to give me a month off. They were more than happy to allow me to take vacation days from next year in order to make it happen. A motorcycle, that the exact motorcycle I was looking for, showed up literally down the street for sale.
Yeah.
You know, I had all of these things just fall into place. And a dear friend of mine who had never ridden a motorcycle before said, I want to go too. You know? And the two of us bought motorcycles and spent a glorious month riding all the way to Vancouver and back from Newfoundland. And, you know, it went perfectly well. Everybody was happy.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing bad happened. It was fabulous. So when, you know, I got the opportunity to go to Guatemala and my job was looking a little iffy, and, you know, I just thought, why am I setting a limit on this? Why don't I just do it? It's everything's laying itself out for me. Everything's almost being handed to me on a silver platter. So I said, you know, that's it. I'm doing it. That's it. Period.
How inspirational. That's right, because we set our own limits. We hold ourselves back, right? The universe or spirit or whoever, whatever you want to call it, lays out a path for us and says, here, it's open. Here's what you asked for. Here's what you want. Oh, no, I can't quit my job. I can't leave my family. I can't do this. I can't do that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I still get a day. You know, yesterday I was sitting, okay, okay. This is a lot of work. What am I going to do? I'm my last day of work and my house is selling, but it's not going to sell for another month after my last day of work. So what am I going to do for income for a month? And, you know, you get these doubts. And then I said, you know what? That's what visa's for.
That's right.
They get well used. It'll fill the gap between, you know, my last paycheck and when I sell the house. When I sell the house, then I'll have a bit of cash. But in between, well, you know what? So that's why I've kept good credit.
There you go. So what about Guatemala now? What are you expecting when you go there? Where are you going to be living? What's it going to be like? What are you going to be doing?
Well, that's the exciting part. When I was in Guatemala doing work before, I had done traveling into rural areas. I got to swim in the warm waters of a volcanic lake. I got to do all these wonderful things. And I thought to myself, I could live in these hills, you know. I could just move right in here. I'd be fine. And I started researching more about Guatemala while I was there. And I wanted to get to Lake Atitland because it's considered the most beautiful lake in the world. But we didn't have time and, you know, I had to get back to Canada and all that stuff. So the weird thing about it is that these friends have set up shop on Lake Atitland. In a tiny little community that you can only walk to or get a boat to. There's no roads in this community. There's about 800 people, all kinds of lovely haciendas, you know, in the hills that you don't even need a car to get around the whole town. You know, it's so idyllic. Now it's very, very basic. It's I don't want to say it's a poverty-stricken area because it's not. The tourism and everybody's, you know, self-sustaining there, but it's not high end. It's very, very basic living. I enjoy basic living.
Guatemala is one of the poorest countries in the world.
Yes.
And it's also one of the happiest, apparently.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, go figure.
Yes. Yeah. I think they're doing something right there. And I would like to go and learn what that is. And you know, I have what it is, but, living minimally and not wanting more than you have and things like that make people happy. But I'd like to go and learn more about it.
Do you have electricity where you are?
I will have electricity, although it's a bit sporadic. Any little interruption in the environment tends to knock the power out. So I'm looking at alternative energy sources for my computer and that sort of thing, just in case.
Yeah, because you need that. You're going to be doing e-learning. So you
need, exactly. I'll need power for my computer. Now, the people I'm working with have set up a system where they've got very high speed internet. Uh-huh. So that won't be an issue. Of course, when the power goes out, there may be issues with the internet. We're going to have to work around that.
Yeah. You have a dirt bike, you mentioned, or access to a dirt bike down there. Is that right?
Yes. I'm very much looking forward to know anything about the trails there. I've looked on the internet to try and find samples, and there's lots of people who've traveled through on bikes, on larger, you know, larger displacement adventure bikes, and I've seen a few people who have done trail riding there, but the majority of the population in Guatemala ride small displacement bikes for transportation purposes. Right, so there's a lot of them around, and they're easy to get repaired and that sort of thing because they're everywhere. So I'm very much looking forward to some trail riding and having some fun on these small displacement bikes. I mean, the place is full of them.
Nice. What's the reaction been like to friends and family, coworkers? This must be a shock to some of them. Maybe they knew you had this other 3-year plan, but to pick up your roots and move to Guatemala has probably caught some of them off guard.
Yeah, I've had such a mixed reaction. Most people say, "Wow, I wish do that. If I didn't have this, I'd be going with you. If I didn't have that, I'd be there." You know, that's a common reaction. I get a few people that are close to me who are worried about me and
sure,
think I'm doing the wrong thing, or I'm being foolish, or I'm being whatever. You know, you get that. They care for you.
Of course.
But the people who are close to me are, you know, "Go girl. It sounds like you." That sounds like something you would do. So, you know, it's not unexpected to people who know me.
Yeah, good. What's the biggest challenge you think you're facing now in this whole big life change?
The biggest challenge, I think, would be adjusting to a completely different lifestyle in Guatemala. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I come from a very safe place. I've broken down on my motorcycle in Newfoundland 3 or 4 times, probably more, but it's never gone more than 20 minutes before I'm literally rescued by a stranger, somebody passing by and helping me out, or I can, you know, go on my local forum and somebody will be there to pick me up in 20 minutes. I've never had an issue like that. If you could be from anywhere in the world and stop and knock on someone's door and ask for a meal, and they'd say, "Yes, come in by, have a cup of tea," you know, it's a very, very friendly, safe place. Mm-hmm. Guatemala is entirely different. The local population are friendly and they're sure to invite you in for some tea, but I have to learn to take on a whole new sense of where I am and who's around me at all times, because it's a different place.
Yeah.
Yes, and you know, I'll be in the hills, so the average temperature is about 25 degrees during the day and down to 15 to 18 at night, so it's idyllic temperatures.
And we're talking Celsius here.
We're talking Celsius, yes. So that, you know, we're looking in the evening, it's a little below room temperature, so 50 degrees. And during the day, it'll be up to 75, 80 degrees. Really quite comfortable temperatures.
Yeah. So you're moving mid-January, is that right?
Yeah, I'll be leaving here mid-January. I'm packing up my car and bringing some belongings to my family on the mainland, and I'll be flying out of Moncton.
New Brunswick.
Yeah.
And then when do you start working? Right away?
Right away. I'll be climbing the hill to my little house and plugging my computer in and getting to work.
Oh, how cool. How neat is that? And how long do you expect, how long are you going to be there?
I have no idea how long. This is where I'm trusting things will fall into place. I need to be there long enough to feel whether it's good for me or not. If it doesn't work out, I'm not afraid to come back. You know, if things don't, you know, if it's too scary for me or if it's too, I'll just come back. But I have a feeling I'll be there for at least 6 months. Mm-hmm. Take a flight home. I've got to work out all the rules for citizenship and residence and things like that to make sure that I make my trips back to Canada, you know, at the right times. And I need to visit family and that sort of thing. So that'll definitely happen. But whether I stay for 6 months, a year, 10 years, who knows?
Who knows? Do you speak Spanish? That's the other thing I wanted to ask you.
Hola. That's about it. I was in Central America for 2 weeks the last time I was there. And in about 4 days, I knew enough to get by quite handily. That's all gone now. But I'm hoping in 4 days it will be back again. The basics of, you know, basic directions and food and baños and baño. I know the baño.
I know that.
But the other thing I'd like to learn is Quetzalcoatl, which is the local Mayan language, and I think that would be even more fun to learn than Spanish. I enjoy learning, so I'm feeling it'll be interesting and fun.
So, in closing, if not everybody wants to do this particular type of adventure, but everybody usually has something they want to do, especially as we are at midlife and we're looking, looking ahead and thinking, there's things I want to get done. I want to, there's things I want to leave that are meaningful that I haven't had done yet, but there's all these things that hold us back. What are your words of wisdom?
Remember that you are the one who sets your upper limit. You're the only person in the world who can set that. So you can put it wherever you're comfortable. If you're not comfortable selling everything you own and taking off to Guatemala, then maybe you're comfortable taking a 2-week vacation by yourself. Maybe that's the first step you need to take. Maybe your upper limit is spending time by yourself. Maybe your upper limit is taking a motorcycle trip across the country. You got to push it up. You got to take what's a little uncomfortable and go ahead and do it. And then it becomes so much easier to push that limit up. It's amazing. I was completely amazed at how much easier it is now once I broke that first barrier of taking that long motorcycle trip.
You're off on such an amazing adventure, and your story is so inspirational. Want to check back with you in 6 months' time and see how how things have changed for you and what it's been like. And I imagine you're going to have just some amazing stories to tell. So,
Oh,
oh, I bet you will. Thank you
I
very much, Tammy, and I wish you all the very best.
hope so. Wonderful. Thank you, Liz.
Okay.